At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Wow. Yeah. Yesterday, quite a day. The trade of Tomas Hertl in particular. I don't think anybody saw that coming, especially not to Vegas. I understand why Mike Greer made the trade. I think that it was the right move. I just think that it's still a lot for everyone to process, and it's a lot for us to get through. There's so many extenuating circumstances surrounding it. But on Friday afternoon, I did talk with Curtis Pashelka of Bay Area News Group. It is Friday afternoon, a few hours after a busy, busy deadline day where we were still getting news well after the 12 o'clock hour passed as things were still processing through the league offices. We also got word that Logan Couture is not going to be returning for the remainder of the regular season, but obviously that may have felt like somewhat of a, not a foregone conclusion, but I think we all felt we were trending that way. But I guess the first question, Curtis, beyond how you're doing, because I know busy is the probable answer, how shocked were you to see that Tomas Hertl news come down? Because that had really not seemingly been on anyone's radar. I had not seen much mention of it, and then suddenly it was happening.
Yeah, it was definitely a surprise to see that news kind of come across there just before noon. We thought that, you know, maybe some other guys would get traded on this team. You know, you look at some of the pending unrestricted free agents that the Sharks have, and they have quite a few of them. We figure those guys are going to get moved, and you know, maybe the bigger move of moving along one of the more, you know, a guy like Hertl could come maybe in the off season. But you know, from we were, you know, talking with Mike Greer a little bit earlier, and he felt this was the right time, and you know, to sort of get this trade done. And you know, from what we're understanding is that a framework of a deal was sort of in place, and then you know, Tomas Hertl had to sort of weigh things for the last day or two, and then you know, finally sort of finalized his decision this morning that he would you know, accept a trade to go to Vegas. So it was certainly a surprise, no doubt about it. I'm sure a lot of Sharks fans are kind of reeling a little bit right now, knowing that number 48 is not going to be in the lineup anymore for the Sharks. So it's a lot to get used to in a short period of time, and though it's already been a pretty challenging season for everyone who follows this team.
Yeah, I mean, we on the broadcast crew just talked about it, and Randy Hahn talked about, you know, this was the tear down to the studs, even though Logan Couture is still here and, you know, Mark Edward Vlasic, but, you know, there aren't many pieces left. And, you know, since Greer has come in, I think he took a very, you know, interesting, I think it took a job that a lot of people were interested in, but nobody wanted to specifically be the person to have to make those hard decisions, because we've now seen him trade Brent Burns. And then most specifically in the last, you know, 12 months and a couple of days, Timo Meier, Erik Karlsson, and Tomas Hertl. And I mean, what is your reaction to this path he's been down, A, and then B, since we didn't see the trade of Hertl coming, does this now expedite the process of what I thought was going to be a summer of take on bad contracts, but now with this much cap space that they have available, does this, I don't know, how much does this change things, Curtis? I mean, this was a thought process that I was not expecting to have today, and now I'm kind of multiple minds of what the next move is.
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting situation the Sharks are in, just in terms of their contract structure and their you know, what kind of things look like going forward here. I don't, you know, the Sharks, you know, do have a little bit more, you know, money to spend this offseason, if you want to look at it that way. You know, Mike Greer does think this team can take a little bit more of a step forward next season. From his perspective, I think this is more or less bottoming out. But, you know, it's still going to take a lot of time. And there's a lot of pieces that are still have to be sort of filled out here. And you kind of wonder if, you know, what next season is going to look like. I guess there's a little bit of room for optimism that some young guys could take a step and sort of help this team, be a little bit better next year. But, you know, that's still a little bit of a leap of faith. You don't quite know how everything's going to sort of pan out, to whether some young guys are ready for some bigger roles, and, you know, what the Sharks might do in the offseason in terms of, attracting a free agent here and there, or some other trades that might be coming down the line. It's just a lot of uncertainty right now. I think from Mike Gurr's perspective, this is sort of a move to, you know, put a better position himself long-term and help become a contending team again, and a long-lasting contending team somewhere down the line. In the short term, though, I think there's still a lot of question marks, and certainly from a fan's perspective, you're asking yourself, well, when are the Sharks going to be a competitive team again? And that's certainly fair to wonder after such a huge deal like the one we saw today.
What do you make of that specific deal in and of itself? Obviously picking up the 2023 first rounder and the 2025 first round of the future, and also giving up Hurdle plus the two third round picks.
Well, I mean, I tend to think, I mean, look, Tomas Hurdle, I know he's had his injury history and, things along those lines. And, you know, is he a guy that's going to be able to sort of keep up with the ever-increasing pace of the NHL? That's certainly, reasonable concerns to have. But I don't know. I thought maybe a deal for Hurdle could bring in a little bit more, that first rounder that the Sharks are getting, could that be late in the first round? And what is next? What does that draft sort of look like? Is it a deep draft where you can get an impact player at that position? We don't quite know about the centerman. The Sharks are getting back the first round pick. They're getting back from Vegas, a guy who's drafted last year by the team. So, sorry, I forgot his name, but David Edstrom.
Edstrom, yeah.
Edstrom, yeah. Young guy.
There have been a lot of names bouncing around today or anything, Chris.
Yeah, no. I mean, his roster, I was just looking at the roster. It's the eighth youngest in the league now, and you just go down the list of names. It's like, you got like three guys or here, maybe two, just from the last playoff appearance for the Sharks.
Which in Vlasic, right?
Yeah, and so – I think, I asked Mike today, it's just like, is this a deal that maybe could have waited until the summertime, where maybe if you're looking to trade Tomas and get some younger assets, that maybe you can get some a bigger return. He was of the opinion that this was about as good a deal as they were going to get, even if they had waited until the summertime. So it was, it's interesting, you look at some of the young players they have and could get here in the next year or two. And I think there's a lot of optimism for the future long-term, but, I don't know. I think the return feels a little bit light to me, just because maybe it's just the shock of the trade, but, we'll see it all pans out. Looking back to last year, maybe the Timo Meier return on that trade felt a little bit light too, but things to be, seem to be going in a positive direction for the Sharks in that front. But so, yeah, we'll see. Got to give this some time and kind of see how it all pans out over the next year or two.
Obviously, the other trades that went down last night, right before the game, Anthony Duclair. There is also Nikita Hochuk, Kaapo Kähkönen, and Radim Šimek, who, whose career was interrupted by injuries, but was very professional about his time in the Barracuda, had recently been named as the captain there. And in my opinion, that does not happen by accident. Obviously the Hurdle one is the big one that we're all zeroing in on, but what were your reactions to the other moves that were made?
I'm not necessarily surprised by the Duclair trade. That was something that was going to be, he's probably the most sought after of the pending unrestricted free agents that the Sharks have, just considering, how much he meant to Florida and their playoff run last year, the speed he still plays with, his ability to sort of fit into any room. he goes to and be an impactful player on that team. So that wasn't a surprise. Kakinen too wasn't necessarily a surprise. I honestly thought that, you know, after the Devils got Jake Allen there, they were probably pretty much done in terms of, you know, getting their goaltending in order. But you know, obviously there's another move to be made there. Vanacek, it doesn't sound like he's gonna be able to play again this season. So they do take on that contract for next year. I think he's at $3.4 million cap hit. No, not insignificant. Certainly from the Sharks' perspective, they're hoping he has a bounce back year next year and come back healthy and be an impactful player for this team. Clem Costin, I think that was, you know, I think that was a pretty positive move for the Sharks. I mean, Mike Greer has talked quite a bit about wanting to become a bigger team, a harder team to play against. And I think Clem is a guy who sort of fits that mold of trying to be someone who the Sharks could, you know, sort of have on their depth line and be a force in that respect. So, and then, yeah, Simic, you know, I mean, when he was healthy with the Sharks, you know, he was a pretty good player. I mean, he fit right in alongside of Brent Burns a few years ago when he first came up to the NHL. It was pretty seamless there. So, you know, he goes to a Detroit team. Obviously, you know, Bob Bugner's there and they have a familiarity with one another. So it's a little bit of an insurance policy for the Red Wings as they try to, you know, lock down a playoff spot there too. So, you know, the minor deals I wasn't necessarily shocked by but it's obviously the Tomas Hertl is the one that sort of dwarfs everything else that the Sharks did today.
Yeah, I mean, that one, everybody was surprised by it. And everybody, you know, and understandably so, obviously. Like, to me, Curtis, beyond Tomas Hertl, the specific hockey player, because in the immediacy, nothing really changes for the Sharks because, you know, Hertl wasn't playing. He'd been injured, you know, like that. He was already not on the ice. But to me, to reach across the aisle to the non-sports fans or the less deep hockey fans, like Hertl had that personality, the effervescence, could make some highlight reel plays, just a very infectious personality when things are going well. I think he was the type of guy that made fans. And I understand why Mike Greer made the move, but it doesn't, it's hard because it's rare. I mean, I think you go to any of the Sharks stars they've had, whether it's a Patrick Marleau, a Jumbo, a Couture, a Pavelski, you know, Dan Boyle, Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, there was something uniquely infectious and gravitational about Tomas Hertl that brought fans and made them want to watch him.
100%. And, you know, that was, you know, you look back at those teams and, you know, sort of the lineage of the connection from one era to the next. And, you know, Tomas Hertl was a guy who came along into the NHL and as a 19-year-old young guy and, you know, infectious smile. And, you know, he was playing a significant role for the Sharks teams back then, playing right alongside Joe Thornton and Brent Burns on the Sharks top line for that one season before he got that season, you know, got cut short by an injury. But you looked at that guy and you figured this is going to be someone the Sharks can build around for years to come. And but, you know, obviously things change. You mentioned obviously the Burns trade, the Karlsson trade, the Timo Meier trade. When Tomas Hertl signed that long-term contract with the Sharks, you kind of figured that, you know, a day would come where he would probably have to get traded just because of the direction the Sharks were in, but he didn't quite think it would be this soon. Although, you know, Tomas did mention earlier in the year, right before he went to the All-Star game, that he wonders about his long-term future with the team and whether or not he fit in and whether or not his timeline as far as being wanting to be on a competitive team again really matched up with the Sharks, who have gone obviously super young and moved out a lot of veteran pieces here. So, certainly just a lot of turnover here. And the connection that the fans had was with all those teams and the core pieces that those teams had and who are here, you know, year after year. You know, a lot of that's gone now. I mean, obviously, Marc-Edouard Vlasic is still playing here and he's under contract for a couple more years. Logan Couture kind of in the same boat here. Obviously, you know, the people want to see him back healthy again next season for the start of next season. But yeah, there's a lot of new faces your Sharks fans are going to have to get used to. And I'm sure they're excited about having a Will Smith in the mix here next year and seeing what a David Edstrom can bring. And, you know, even if the Sharks win the lottery here, if Matt Celebrini could be part of this team next year too. So a lot of new guys coming in. I think that's, the Sharks fans are going to sort of get used to is just getting used to those guys and the new guys coming in and remembering the old days when the Sharks were in the playoffs every year and a competitive team that you could safely buy a jersey they would be, you'd know that guy was going to probably be around for 8 or 10 years. So we'll see if the Sharks can get to that stage again here at some point where fans could buy a Will Smith jersey or a Philip Bisted jersey at some point and know that those guys are going to be around for a while. But that's still a little ways off, I think.
No, I agree. It's going to take some time. And, you know, the one big question that is now looming in light of the news that was shared by Logan Couture earlier today, that he is hopeful that he can come back next season. And, you know, again, we've talked about it a couple times, Curtis. I was very surprised when Logan said that, you know, he had thoughts about whether or not this injury was going to end his career. This is not a common injury. I have not heard much about the talk of a surgical intervention. But again, that, you know, it's not, I'll be back next year. It's, I'm hopeful to be back next year. And when I hear a term like that thrown around, it makes me shrug, for lack of a better term. I mean, it concerns me, for to be clear. I mean, that's not a good term to be using. That's not a statement full of finality of I will return.
No. And, you know, that's just the nature of the injury itself, where, you know, how much can he, you know, what does the summer sort of look like for him, and how much can he sort of exert himself? When does he start to feel normal again, and can that last? Is that something that is just going to have to be continually monitored and treated over the next few years? And, you know Logan, he's going to do what he can to sort of, you know, get back to being in this position where he'd be contributing here again. But until that happens, you don't quite know for sure. So, he said today this is not something that you can just get surgery for and have it be fixed. It's something that just takes a lot of rest and recovery and strengthening the muscles and a lot of work that athletes have to do to sort of recover for something like this. You mentioned a soccer player or two today who've had this condition and worked their way back, but you know, it's still every individual is a little bit different, and you don't quite know what the situation, what the outlook's going to be like for Logan and until next season. And you kind of have to go from there. And, he said today he's here. He doesn't envision anyone, you know, wanting to trade for him considering his cap hits and his age and his injury right now. So he's going to be with the Sharks for the foreseeable future here. And certainly fans hope he can be back on the ice, making an impact there as well.
I will have more with that interview from Curtis Pashelka coming up in the morning on Morning Tide as we look back at this upcoming game against Ottawa. But yeah, this one, guys, this one hit different. I hate to state the obvious, but Tomáš Hertl had a unique ability to convey his emotion, his joy, across barriers that went beyond sports. Like, you didn't have to be a sports fan to appreciate Tomáš Hertl. You certainly didn't have to be a hockey fan. You just saw the joy with which he played the game, the classic quote of fun must be always, and it just feels like this truly marks the end of an era. And yes, I know that you still have, from that team that made the Western Conference Final in 2019, Logan Couture, but he's now done for the rest of the year with that groin injury, and Pickles is at the tail end of an incredible Hall of Fame worthy career. And, you know, Kevin LeBanc seems like he is in the last year of his time with the Sharks as well. So for this Hertl trade, yeah, we're all reacting to it. I think we were all a little bit blindsided. And now it is about embarking upon a new future with the San Jose Sharks. All right, I will see you all tomorrow morning on Morning Tide for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify, and on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.